Sex.
Hey, Scarlets, it's Mary Adele, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and make these conversations joyful, liberating, and inclusive so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. How y'all doing? I think it's probably a tough time of the semester, so I hope you are finding times to rest or watch some Netflix and tune out or masturbate, perhaps. Anything that's going to make you feel a little less stressed. We do have, of course, a holiday and I'm guessing a break next week, so that's good. So we've spent time talking about sexual shame. We've spent a couple episodes now talking about sexual empowerment. Today, let's talk about sex giving. Wait. What the flip is sex giving? So it's a new holiday. I invented it. And we're going to learn about it and celebrate it or plan to celebrate it later in the podcast. But first, let's talk about actual Thanksgiving and the upcoming holiday season. So we all have different experiences with holidays, right? Some of us love holidays. Some of us put the Christmas music on as soon as Halloween's over or maybe before. Some of us hate holidays. It brings up bad memories. Maybe it's just a time of grief for you. Some of us have that seasonal affective disorder. So like the shorter days just makes you feel lethargic, depressed. And then others just feel neutral about holidays. Maybe some of us don't, you know, a lot of us don't celebrate the same holidays. And some holidays are more hyped up than other holidays. So some of us are just kind of like, it is what it is. I'm going to eat some good food, maybe see my family. But it doesn't really affect you one way or the other. All of these experiences are valid. All of these experiences are okay. I'm just here to say that if you are struggling with the holiday season, that is okay. It's easy to fall into that comparison trap where you see everyone else enjoying holidays, having a great time, wanting to celebrate, wanting to decorate, and you're kind of like, oh, do I have to do all that stuff? I don't want to. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. As long as you're taking care of yourself and not harming anyone else, you're good doing what feels right for you. Because this can be a challenging time for some, I think it's especially important to take some time to chat about self-care. And even if you love the holidays, let's chat about self-care. Because sometimes, you know, you kind of get on this track of like doing so much, buying all the gifts, doing all the decorating, trying to go to all the different shows and parades and such that you are doing a little too much maybe and you're feeling kind of exhausted and you crash. So let's take a second and just talk about self-care. Now, self-care is a buzzword, but it's also a really important concept. It's important to acknowledge that the term self-care came from Black femme activists, such as Audre Lorde, during the Civil Rights Movement. And it was important, you know, for people of color during that time to practice self-care because institutionally they weren't getting any care, no health care, et cetera. And, you know, they're still fraught to this day. We have these systematic structures that don't support marginalized populations. But all this to say, I just want to give a nod to Audre Lorde and Black feminists who came up with the term self-care. I think it's important to know the history of some of these things that we practice today so we can make sure that we're, you know, expressing gratitude and making sure we're working to fight social justice issues alongside taking care of ourselves. So what is self-care to you? I'm curious. I wish I, you know, had a live audience so I could take some hands. I always love to hear how people think about self-care. To me, it's showing up for myself. So whether it's after a long day taking that bubble bath, which I know is the kind of the common conversation around self-care, is taking a, you know, a luxurious bath or getting a massage or, you know, quote unquote, treating yourself. But I think it's definitely more critical than that. And so showing up for myself can look like paying a bill on time. It can look like having a difficult conversation, one that's been heavy on my heart for a long time. You know, someone hurt me maybe, and I still feel down about it. So being vulnerable and letting that person know that I feel, you know, hurt by something they said or did. That's not easy for me. I'm a people pleaser. So, you know, kudos to anyone who kind of has that same thing going on where it's really hard to open up and kind of confront someone in a non-aggressive way, but in a way that's standing up for yourself. it can also look like apologizing. Like sometimes we've hurt another person or another group of people, or we've made a mistake, we've offended someone, we've not used the correct pronouns and over again for someone's gender identity. And so what that takes is apology and, you know, correcting the mistake. And that's self-care. I know that kind of doesn't sound like that much fun of self-care, but it's important self-care because you're growing. You're growing and you're making sure that you're your best self in those moments. And sometimes it's tuning out. Like, you know, I'm all about processing feelings and sitting with feelings, but sometimes they just feel like too much and you got to tune out, and that's okay. For me, it's watching The Office on Netflix or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, another one of my go-tos. So finding that show that really allows your brain to just turn off so you can escape for a little bit. I know my partner, for him, it's video games. So any night he can take for himself to just play a great video game and really like escape into another world. Last night we got together with some friends and played D&D or Dungeons and Dragons. And it was so much fun. And I really, at the end of the game, I was kind of like almost had to like bring myself back to earth because I had kind of escaped into this fantasy world where I got to be a druid and like do all these cool magic tricks. And it was really fun. Well, magic tricks, that probably is not D&D language, but what was I doing? Oh, spells. I was doing spells. Anyway, anything to escape for a little bit is okay as long as you're not like completely avoiding and hiding from problems, so to speak. And it's also just giving yourself what you need. So it's a big difference and important to note that sometimes self-care, as I was just kind of saying, isn't actually that much fun. But it will make things ultimately in your life better when you do some of these tough things, like when you have that difficult conversation, when you save up the money to pay that bill. You know, you don't want to pay the bill. You'd rather buy something more fun, but in that moment, it's like making sure that you're not getting yourself into, you know, debt or trouble with money. So that's my little spiel on just self-care, day-to-day self-care. Let's talk about sexuality and self-care. So as you might remember from my first episode, The Circles of Sexuality, which is, of course I'm going to forget his name. I talk about him all the time. Here, I can flip back and probably find it, but never mind. I think his name has Daniels in it. Just look up The Circles of Sexuality. It was a man who created it. We've talked about it on the podcast before. But our bodies, part of The Circles of Sexuality, it states that our bodies play a huge part in our sexualities, right? That makes a lot of sense. You know, if we're talking about actual sex, we have to use our bodies to do that for the most part, unless you're into like tantric or, you know, a whole different conversation. But for the most part, you use your bodies. And even in tantric, you use your brain. So that's part of your body. So we spend a lot of our time in our heads and in our hearts, kind of these, like in our thoughts and in our like emotions, and not really paying attention to whatever our bodies are telling us. And let me tell you, y'all, they're talking. Our bodies are always talking to us. Even a headache is talking to you. I firmly believe that a headache usually is, you know, and I know migraine, like there's so much to this, but a lot of times a headache is showing you something else that's going on, maybe like a stuck feeling or just a stress that you're dealing with constantly and it's manifesting itself in a headache. I think that makes sense. So our bodies use that primal intuitive language every single one of us has, and you got to tune into that sometimes because a lot of times our bodies are telling us really important things that we need to hear. So go ahead, take a moment right now. Just tune into your body. I'll pause. What's going on in there? Do you feel tightness? Like in your chest, perhaps? Maybe around your heart, does it feel tight? Do you have a head cold? Are you sniffling? Is it lots of stuff up in the sinuses? Look at your jaw. Almost everyone, when I say this, can release tension in their jaw because we're almost always holding tension there. So go ahead and release that tension. Maybe things are feeling really good. Maybe you're lying back in bed and you got a fan blowing on your face and there's a candle lit and it just feels good in your body right now. And that's great. So whatever you're noticing, that's not just a random thing happening in there. It's a message. Is this woo-woo? whatever, I don't care, embrace the woo. If you just take 5 minutes after this podcast and just sit and feel your body and listen to it, I guarantee y'all that it will tell you something. You just have to really tune in. You have to be like, hey, body, what's up? What are you trying to tell me? For instance, I keep waking up between the hours of like 4 and 6 every morning. I'm usually an 8 a.m. wake up person, you know, sometimes. But I could not figure out why I keep waking up around those hours. It was kind of like spooky. It was like always on the dot sometime between those 2 hours. And it was every night. And I had to just kind of like one morning when I woke up like that, you know, instead of getting frustrated and being like, why am I not sleeping? And why is this still happening? I was just kind of like, you know what? What's going on? Body, what's happening? And all of a sudden, I kind of got this vision of my lungs. And it felt like I needed to take a deep breath. So that's exactly what I did. I just started taking these deep breaths and like just really like tuning everything else, all the thoughts out, and just deep breathing and thinking about my breath. And I ventured back into sleep. And I have not, and this was like a good month of this wake up time, and I have not woken up since. As soon as I just like kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to let go of all the thoughts and like the irritation that I'm feeling and just try to breathe deep. I don't know what that means. Maybe I'm still, I had a cold like a month or two ago, and like maybe I'm still working that cough out or something. But all I know is that as soon as I kind of was just like kind to my body and was like, hey, what's going on? What do you need from me? It said, you need to take some deep breaths. You need to like kind of tune out and just sit there and really concentrate on the breath. I've been doing more deep breathing throughout the day because of this. So take what you will from that. Again, it might be kind of woo-woo. I don't care. All I know is that it worked for me. So try that after this podcast tonight when you're lying in bed, whenever you like to kind of like calm and just like sit with yourself. Just like be like, hey, body, what's going on? The tightness in your chest. Maybe you're avoiding or holding in that tough feeling that needs to be spoken out loud. Maybe you've got a sore neck. Maybe you're holding on to too much of other people's burdens. Maybe you're stressing a lot because of all the school stuff you got going on. Just notice your body and then see if it speaks up. And don't judge it. If anger comes up, notice that. If sadness comes up, notice that. You don't have to figure it all out is what I'm saying. Like for me, I still don't know really what was going on. All I know is that I tuned into my lungs. I started deep breathing. And I'm trying not to think too much about it and just let that helped. Your body's super smart. You're super smart because you are your body. So there you go. And your body's got your back. No pun intended. So also part of sexuality and self-care is masturbation. If that sounds like fun to you, go masturbate tonight. Just you and your touch, or maybe a toy if you're into that. And if that doesn't sound appealing, take that warm bath or indulge one of your senses. Maybe light a candle you love and snuggle up and watch the flame flicker and breathe in the scent, or take a hot shower and let your skin just kind of drink in that heat and comfort. Do something sensual tonight. If not masturbation, tune into your senses. Eat soup, like make a really great soup, or go get ramen. Anything that's going to kind of like take you out of your thinking brain or your feeling heart and just let your body like enjoy an experience, that's what I'm tasking you with. Make time. I know we're stressed with school, but make some time just for you and your body to connect. Take care of you. Take care of you, Scarlets. All right, so Sexgiving. What's Sexgiving all about? Well, let's look at the good parts of Thanksgiving, which is about sharing and community and pleasure, because I mean mashed potatoes and gravy, come on, super pleasurable, and gratitude, right? So how can we bring these qualities into our sexualities or our sex lives? Let's begin with the obvious one, pleasure. How can we tune more into our day-to-day pleasures? Well, you got to figure out what you like. There's a book out there by Betty Dodson, and I think it's called Sex for One. If you're a reader, get it. If you like Audible, I would assume it's on Audible. She just really breaks down how to kind of play with yourself, how to figure out what you like and what you don't like. And that's the beautiful thing about masturbation, because it's sex with yourself. which might sound kind of weird, but I mean, it's true. And the less we can make it weird, the better. So you know what? It's not weird. It's not weird. It's you and your body. Like, you are most connected with yourself. So why not have sex with yourself? And that's going to help you figure out what you like, you know, in the bedroom or wherever you have sex with a partner. The more you can tune into what feels pleasurable for you, you know, it might involve a foot massage. It might involve, let's see, just like light touching up the arms. It might involve, I don't know, something fun, like a role play, anything that's going to make you feel good that you could potentially take to a partner. Like, that's just productive and awesome. And life should be about pleasure. Like, we only live here once. We work really hard, particularly in the American culture. Like, sometimes it feels like the only thing we're here to do is to go to college, get that degree, get that resume, and go get a job. I'm here to urge you that, like, let's put that as, like, something we just do while we're here. And what we're meant to do while we're here is really experience joy and pleasure as much as we can, despite like trauma, which is, you know, affects us in a big way, despite grief, which affects us in a big way. But like figuring out ways to find joy and pleasure is our number one. It's something that we all deserve as human beings, I think. And making sure that, well, I'll get to community in a second. So I want you to really think about that. How can you tune into your own pleasure? Just have some fun with it. And it doesn't have to, you know, I know I'm talking to people who perhaps are asexual or who have a low libido, and maybe the low libido is just for right now and a little higher libido comes on later on. That's all obviously like valid experiences and identities. And so for you guys, like, what gives you pleasure that's not necessarily sexual? Like, maybe it's eating pizza in bed. I did that last night. That was super pleasurable. I would probably do that every night if I could and if my cholesterol could afford it. So anything that just, again, kind of hearkening back to sexual self-care, anything that puts you in your body, makes you feel good, smells good, tastes good, all that good sensory stuff, find pleasure that way and make it solo. Make it about you and your relationship with you. That's going to help you to have better relationships with other people if that's what you want. Yeah. Okay, so then let's look at gratitude. So, you know, another kind of buzz thing that people are always telling us to like find three things you're grateful for every day. It works. It does. It, like, even if it's just for that like 5 minutes that you think about it, it feels good. It really does to feel good to just be like, what the heck am I grateful for? Like, what's happening in my life that's awesome? Well, I want you for sexgiving to think about sex gratitude. What about your bodies are you grateful for? Maybe you're a runner and you love your legs. That's awesome. Your legs are doing awesome things, even if you're not a runner. So legs are a great one. Maybe it's a mouth for tasting that pizza in bed. Are you grateful for your mouth? What other body parts could we be grateful for? Or whatever capacities of our bodies could we be grateful for? Maybe you're grateful for your body because you've gone through, you know, trauma, unfortunately, or, you know, that was inflicted upon you that you and your body have gotten through. And I'm not saying that, you know, I, like, of course, my heart is with anyone who's gone through really heavy trauma, and no one deserves that. Maybe, though, you are grateful that you're here now and you're working through it and your body's holding space for you. Like, that's a big one. And I'm grateful you're here, too. Let's see, what about sex are you grateful for? Maybe you've got some awesome partners right now. That's great. Maybe you've got one awesome partner right now. That's awesome. Maybe you're just enjoying it with yourself. That's awesome. That's so great. You know, for me personally, little tidbit, I didn't have orgasms until late in my 20s. And so I think that particularly for people with female anatomy, or with vulvas, they have a harder time finding that orgasm because we just weren't taught growing up to prioritize that. And so if that's your experience, like, that is a valid experience. And that's why I'm telling you to take that time to find what's pleasurable. Perhaps it'll lead to an orgasm. Perhaps it won't. But for those of you who are orgasming and it's really enjoyable, that's awesome. That's something to be grateful for. And if you're not, something to work towards maybe, but also you don't have to. Like, you can do whatever feels right and good for you. So maybe just you're grateful for the pleasure you find in your body. Let's see, what else can we be grateful for with sexuality? Maybe that these conversations are happening a little bit more, and hopefully you all feel a little more comfortable talking about your sexuality with other people, whether it be friends or partners or just out in public even. Like, that's something to be grateful for, that the conversation's kind of opening up, that our culture's shifting into a more sex-positive culture. That's something I'm truly grateful for, and it's something that I think about a lot because I'm in the business of sex ed. So I'm very grateful for the kind of shift that's happening. There's still a lot of work to do, but people are out there doing the work, and I'm grateful to have colleagues who are doing important work alongside me. So there you go. There's my sexual gratitude. Okay, so moving on, sharing. So sharing is part of Thanksgiving. These are the good parts of Thanksgiving, right? I know that Thanksgiving is kind of fraught with history, but these are the good parts of Thanksgiving. So sharing, which is, I would say, under the circles of sexuality, part of intimacy. So sexually, what can you share? Maybe pleasure with another person if that's what you want to do. But if you don't want to do that, that's totally fine. But having, you know, being equipped with what you find pleasurable and knowing what's pleasurable for your body, and then bringing that into a space with a partner who you want to have sex with, whether that's penetrative sex or any other kind of sex, that's great because you're sharing yourself in a very vulnerable way, but also you're like, I want to bring, you know, joy and fun into this moment with you. And so then because you know how to find your pleasure spots, you can perhaps help them find their pleasure spots. And that's awesome. That's a really awesome human thing. Like, I know I'm a sexuality educator and you're probably like, why is she talking about this? But it's because I'm a sexuality educator. And I just want you to know that, like, having a moment with a person, even if you don't have sex with them anymore, or if, like, ultimately the relationship doesn't work out, or it's just a one night thing, like, those moments of connection are super important and healing for you, for that person, for our community. Yes, having good sex is healing for communities because we're connecting to our bodies in a really big way. We're connecting with another person, and it's just important, I think, if it's something that you want to do. Again, let's see. What else about sharing? Oh, maybe advice with a friend. That's always a good thing to share. Like, people still feel awkward about talking about sex. So anytime you can hold space for a friend and make them feel like, if you know something's going on, or you're just like, hey, do you want to, you know, talk about your relationship, or do you want to talk about anything within the sexuality realm? Again, like, we were raised, or not all of us, but there's a lot of shame still. Even though we're making progress, there's still a lot of shame. So the more that you can, like, give people the opportunity to shed that shame, it's a really nice thing to do. And then vulnerability, like, oof, it's hard. We've already talked about this today, but ooh, it is hard to be vulnerable. Maybe you're with an LTR, long-term relationship, and something's not quite right with your sex life, but you feel like this person is someone you definitely want to be with for longer, like you really like them, maybe even love them. How do you have a vulnerable conversation with them? Like, yeah, it's hard. It's probably going to suck. They might get defensive. They might, like, shy away from it, but then that kind of, like, helps you navigate other things in the relationship. If it's like, if we can't have these conversations, maybe it's not right. But maybe it really opens up a whole new part of your relationship. Maybe it, like, opens up doors. Maybe it, like, just lets you get more adventurous with sex. I don't know. Like, an example of this would be, like, maybe, let's see, maybe that person is not prioritizing your pleasure, and it's not that they are being cruel about it. It's just maybe they are clueless. But, you know, again, like, hopefully this person is loving and a good partner to you. But if you feel like this is an opportunity for you to kind of open up and be like, hey, can you do this? Can you try this with me? Or I would really like to do something different tonight. Or maybe this weekend we could go on a date that's just different from our other dates and it leads into a sensual night. Anything that feels like you're putting yourself out there and, like, trying to make the relationship better in some way is sharing. So I'm going to encourage y'all to do that if that's something you're going through. Not easy. I know I just made it sound really easy just by saying those things out loud. It's not. But you can do it. I know you can. Okay, community. So this is kind of more broad. This is more macro. But ways that you can give back to your community when it comes to sexuality. So dialogue with a group of friends. Maybe all get together, get a book club to go going. Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski is a great, I know my friend and therapist friend is doing that for her book club. And I think that'd be a great one to do with a group of people. Everyone read the book and then get together and talk about sexuality. It'll be, again, healing for people to feel like they can open up and talk about this stuff. Maybe social media posts, that sharing a social media post that's sex positive to your feed. Like, that's going to, again, people are going to be like, oh, wow, like, that's cool that she or he or they said that. And then these ones are even more broader. If you do watch porn, maybe spending money on a feminist porn site. That way you know you're supporting sex workers and the important work that they're doing. Or maybe you're so passionate about it, you want to lobby for better public school sex education. That's another way to give back to your community. And I don't want to say your sexual community because that sounds kind of odd, but just your community and sexuality in general, which again, the more that we can talk about something that's so buried in shame in our culture and release that shame, it's going to lead and glean into other parts of our community and make just like stronger communities, more supportive communities, more open and vulnerable communities. So Sexgiving, you all, happy Sexgiving. I hope you celebrate. There you have it. So who's going to celebrate with me? Do it through the rest of this year and then into next year, a new decade, and then into the whole, just like the rest of your life. Do it. It's going to be hard sometimes. Sometimes you got to tune out, but other times live your best sexual life. And we're going to keep talking about this in this podcast. So no worries. I'm going to keep reminding you. Okay. We have a quick question from a Scarlet listener. This person said, I saw an updated acronym for LGBTQIA+. There was a 2S in the acronym. What does that stand for? And that is a wonderful question. It stands for Two-Spirited. So I'm going to read directly from a website called LGBTQ Health. Two-spirit refers to a person who identifies as having both a masculine and a feminine spirit, and it is used by some indigenous people to describe their sexual gender and or spiritual identity. As an umbrella term, it may encompass same-sex attraction and a wide variety of gender variants, including people who might be described in Western culture as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, transgender, genderqueer, crossdressers, or who have multiple gender identities. Two-spirit can also include relationships that could be considered polyamorous. The creation of the term two-spirit is attributed to Albert McLeod, who proposed its use during the third annual Intertribal Native American First Nations Gay and Lesbian American Conference held in Winnipeg in 1990. The term is a translation of the, Anishinaabe Bowen term, Nish Mandawag, two spirits. I'm so sorry for that butchering of native language. But it is for indigenous people, so it's not something that people who are not part of an indigenous tribe, a native tribe, can use. So thank you for that question. I always love giving that kind of information as a sex educator. If there's a follow-up question to that, please email me at info@maryadell.com. Happy to have those conversations. So yeah, let's go ahead and do our pause for pleasure. So it's the segment where I give a shout out to something in life that has given me pleasure recently. And the full honesty is this has been a tough week. I just was talking to someone else who said it was a tough week. Like, it is a stressful time of year right before the holidays, so to speak. I would imagine, especially for students, I remember being a student and this is not the easiest week. So full disclosure, the idea of the end of the week is giving me pleasure, if I'm being completely honest. But also, I've been making muffins in a mug. Have y'all ever done that? You can get these packs at the grocery store. I think like Kodiak Cakes and stuff does it. But you just microwave, you like put the mix in, a little water, and you microwave it for a minute, and then you've got a muffin in a mug. Okay. It was delicious. I've had like one a night the past week. That's how I'm getting through this week. So where to find me? I'm at @MaryAdell_sexeducator on Instagram. That's 2 L's in Adele. And my website is www.maryadell.com. Please email me with questions, comments, or concerns, info@maryadell.com. Please follow this podcast. Give it a follow. And if you feel like it, please send me what you think about it to my email. And then also make sure to follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And check out the other awesome podcasts on dragondigitalradio.pod. Podbean.com. Don't forget to comment, rate, and share. My personal favorite is Healthy Minds podcast. Such a good one. Check it out. My friend Julie is the host. And lots of great stuff on Dragon Digital Radio. And Scarlets, have a wonderful Thanksgiving week if you celebrate. If you don't celebrate, have a wonderful week as well. And, you know, celebrate Sexgiving instead and have an awesome time with pleasure and sensuality. And I will talk to you next time, just a couple of weeks. Thanks, y'all. Bye-bye.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.